welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Good morning, good evening, good night, good second breakfast, whenever you are. My name is Laura Gonzalez, and I'd like to welcome you to Lunatic Mondays, Lunas Lunaticos, the first bilingual show for CSN Podcast, the Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast. And tonight, we're going to talk about a lot of things. We're going to talk about a minister training program. We're going to talk about the programs in Circle Sanctuary and all the little things and the big things that Circle has all of us involved with or on. I don't know. And I have a guest whom I love and adore. Yes, she's my bestie. Deal with it. But she's also an amazing, amazing person. Juliana Rosso, better known to everyone at Circle as Jules. And Jules is here today to talk to us about Circle. I cannot even function today. Pagan Academic Circle, which is her practicum and her project, her baby. And from the get-go, what I want to say is when I see these words together, like academic, I just shudder and walk away because I don't know what that is. Because I don't school, but you school. So you're here to school us and how not to shy away from that word. So my dear Juliana, she's the coordinator of the Pagan Pride Day in Fort Wayne, Indiana. She's also part of the Three Rivers Pagans. And she's an amazing person, obviously a minister in training on the program at Circle Sanctuary. And as I said earlier, my bestie. So how are you, Jules?
I am doing really well. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, honey. I want to welcome you to the show and thank you for being here. And I know most people are like on vacation mode because the holidays and all of that. But I don't know, for some reason, I figure this is a very good time to talk about the academic circle. And especially since I don't know when was the last time I saw you. I think it was Samhain. And I was trying to like really pinpoint and pick your brain about it. And I think it's such an important project and a lot of people probably are not familiar with it. So can you tell us a little bit about how this project started? Because it did start it before your time. So tell us how it started. Yeah, tell us about it, please.
It started quite a while ago with Selena Fox and Dennis Carpenter. They started gathering academic people together to talk about paganism and the academic side of paganism. And by that, I mean not, you know, somebody writes an article and says it's all true. This is stuff that people research, they have sources for, they go back to primary sources, primary texts, ancient texts, things like that. And it's backed up with facts. So Dennis and Selena started this quite a while ago, and about 3 or 4 years ago brought me in on it because I am a master's student. At the time, I was a bachelor's student at Purdue University, Fort Wayne, and I'm now in the master's program, so I'm in academia all the time, and we help other people find papers that they need. We help disseminate surveys and stuff for other people to do research. So we kind of encompass all of academia with that. If it's anything pagan related, we touch on it somewhere.
And that seems fascinating, but for some people, it's really hard. You know, you see, and I'm serious, you see the word, I mean, especially for me being an ESL person, but you see the word academic and a lot of people just shy away from that word. So can you like tell us how not to shy away and to know, to understand what academic exactly means?
Sure. So there's no reason to shy away from academic. It doesn't mean that you're going to have to study or do math, because I hate math, or any homework or anything like that. It just simply means that these are researched articles. The ones that I find for people are considered peer-reviewed, so other people in that field have read them and said that, yes, what's in it is true. We say that it's true, and their sources are great. And it's just basically information that's backed up with facts. So it's something that you don't need to shy away from. You're not going to be quizzed on anything or anything like that. But know that what you're reading has been backed up by other people and has been read by other people and shown to be factual.
Mm-hmm. And how did you get into this project? I mean, obviously, it seems to be like a passion of yours to be in academia. But how did you get involved into this?
Well, academia has been a passion of mine forever, because I've always said, I will stop learning when I'm dead. I keep graduating or getting out of a program and then going right back in for something else, because I love to learn. And I think Selena saw that I am constantly wanting to learn and take classes and things like that. And she knew that my passion was teaching, and I'm going to be going into hopefully teaching once I graduate. And so I'm going to be in academia, and I can carry on with the work that they started, just because I'm immersed in the subject all the time, not necessarily paganism all the time, but I'm always in an academic setting. And a lot of times I actually work in our school library or university library. So I've had this passion for it. And when Selena asked me if it was something that I would want to take over as part of my practicum, I was like, absolutely. That sounds like it's right up my alley. It's something I really enjoy doing. And I love helping other people. So even if it's not my area of research per se, I can help them find articles, and I just have a ball doing it.
Mm-hmm. And for those who are not familiar with the Ministers in Training program, and of course I can kind of help you talk about that since we are together on the program, but mm-hmm. would you like to talk a little bit about what is the Ministers in Training program for those folks that don't know what it is about?
Absolutely, and fill in blanks that I leave, because I know I'll leave some. It's a program through Circle Sanctuary where you apply to become a minister and you train with classes, online classes, in-person classes at places like Pagan Spirit Gathering, and you gather this great ball of knowledge of how to help people and run rituals and just everything associated with a ministry. And once you get through phase one, you start on phase two with your practicum. And that's something you do that not only helps Circle, but helps, you know, the wider community with, you know, whatever your practicum is. For mine, I'm helping academia and put paganism in a positive spin in academia. And then once you get through that process, then you are ordained and are a full minister at Circle Sanctuary.
And that's when the work begins.
And yes, that is when the work begins.
It's so funny, because when we got when I got into the program, did you know, Jules, that I got into the program by accident? That I thought... Yes, by accident. I wanted to be part of Circle. Like, I wanted to be a member of Circle.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that to become a member, you had to be a minister. And then I applied to be on the minister's training program, which is not just fill out this application and you're good. I mean, there's a whole
Mm-mm.
process, right? So I went through the whole process and all that. And then they were like, oh, and then you can, you know, get your membership to Circle. And I'm like, wait, what? So it's not the same thing. but I'm happy, because look, this has been the best loss in translation situation for me. And then here I am as part of the program. And it is an amazing program. So kind of like piggybacking on what you said, there's a lot of classes. There's a lot of opportunities to serve the community. And I think what I like the most is the liberty to choose your practicum, because
absolutely,
it is not like they are going to tell you do this and that. Because if they would have come to me with, hey, Laura, you want to run the Pagan Academic Circle, I would be like, no. You know, but obviously when they say, you know, propose your practicum, and I'm like, yeah, why don't I continue doing radio? And then, of course, because I've been doing this for a long time and it's my passion. So as you, Jules, you know, the fact that I can do my practicum in something that I love and adore, well, it means the world. And so that's the practicum. And then later we will become ordained ministers. And and then we will be serving the community greatly, I hope. But you do a lot of things too. And for those folks that don't know you, because I know you, but there's a lot of people that might not know you that well. So let me shed a light into the person behind the Pagan Academic Circle. So you're in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We know you coordinate with your group. You coordinate the Pagan Pride Day. But this I have never asked you. How did you get into paganism? When did you know you were a pagan?
Well, I was raised in a Roman Catholic church. And doing so, I went to Catholic school, and like a good little schoolgirl, you know, when we went out for recess and stuff, everybody else went out to play, and I went and sat in front of the statue of Mary. And I, even at like 6 years old, I was like, she's a goddess. This is a thing. And, you know, this is who I'm going to talk to. So from a young age, I was always more into dual deities, you know, both genders represented in deity, and actually all genders, because there's more than just two. And I was a closeted pagan. I probably from about 1992 on, I was a closeted pagan. A friend of mine took me to a cute little shop in New Cumberland, Pennsylvania, and I started reading because they had all kinds of books. And I walked in the first time and looked at the owner and said, this is the first time I felt like I've come home somewhere, you know, besides my mom's house. This is home. It smelled like home. It felt like home. And that's when I really started digging into what I had been practicing on my own since I was little. So it wasn't until I got divorced in 2010 that I really came out as pagan and started doing things in the community. Before that, it was just me closeted. My husband didn't even know I was pagan because he wouldn't have agreed with it. And so, yeah, I've kind of been a pagan for a long time.
And I remember when I met you, the actual time when I met you is because Selena was speaking at the university. Selena Fox, for those that haven't caught up on the fact that we're talking to Selena, about Selena Fox. Selena Fox was talking at the university, and it was at a panel discussion for Pagan Club or something
or
another at the university.
Our Pagan or Spiritual Pagan Student Alliance is the name of the club.
How flexible is the university to have this kind of club alliance class? What is it?
Well, the club has been around for almost 20 years, and it started out as just the Pagan Club. And through the years, we've changed names a little bit based on what the university was doing. We've changed from being a combined campus for Purdue and Indiana University to just Purdue mainly now. Takes over everything. So we had to change our name in there somewhere. But we've always been a student-run organization that reaches out to the new, well, to everybody on campus that wants to come in. We don't care if you're pagan or not. Just have an open mind when you come to meetings. And I got involved with them before I went back to school this last time, just going to meetings, because as a community member, you can go. And we do all kinds of things, and the university is good with it. We've engaged in other group things with other, like with the other religion groups on campus. We've done Halloween things. We used to have a Halloween ball when balls were allowed on campus. Now it's a little more sanctioned as to what can be done after hours and stuff like that. But they've been pretty welcoming, and the people that are in charge of student affairs right now have been very wonderful for us getting things done, because I'm also president of that group this year.
Oh, wow. When do you rest?
I don't. Because as soon as I get done, I'm at the end of the semester. And for all the students out there, you know, blessings on your final papers and your finals and all of that, because the end of the semester really is hard. And as soon as that's done, I've got 2 more weeks in that. And then I really don't stop. I go into full bore working on my portfolio for Circle and my thesis for my graduation next December. So I don't rest.
I know that portfolio is on our heels, but yeah, because for those who don't know what we're talking about, in order to become a minister and be ordained, you have to present your portfolio of activities, including from when you apply to your practicum and then some. And so, yeah, it's a whole process, but it's really, I've enjoyed the whole process. Have you?
I have. And I am so glad that you tried to apply for membership through becoming a minister, because we would not have the relationship we have today if you didn't.
Right. And I think, I'm telling you, out of all the things that I have had lost in translation in 21 years here in the United States, that is the most serendipitous one. And I love it. I love it. You know? And I never told anybody. I was just on a river the other day, and he's like, what? I was like, yeah, that's how it happened. So, you know, it's one of those things that is pretty cool that happened. But anyway, we do share one more passion. And I know I want to talk more about academia and why it's important that articles that are out there are peer proven, all that. But before we go into a musical break, I really want to pick your brain on that. A second passion of ours that is shared, and that is tarot. How did you get into tarot?
It was something that interested me. I had a cousin that used to read tarot, and even though she's devoutly Catholic, she was, she believed in her cards, and she read cards for me one day, and I was hooked. And it wasn't until I really came out in the pagan world that I started reading tarot and reading for other people. And now I might be a tarot card hoarder. I may have a couple of drawers in my house that are full of tarot decks. Some of them are still in the boxes, so they take up a little more room that way. But I kind of collect tarot cards a lot.
And that is such part of, because people always ask me, like, Did you collect them? And I'm like, no. Think about a nurse collecting stethoscopes. Like, no.
Yeah.
They're my working tools. So I have like 5, and then that's it. I work with those, and they're my faithful companions. And when one gets too old or can't work with it anymore, maybe I will buy the exact same style again and just have a new one, you know? But it's kind of like, yeah, you don't need 5 stethoscopes to be a nurse, you know. You just have the one that you trust and use for working. Anyway, so I was reading this article this morning, and and you and I have had these conversations before about people getting into things and talking about things and writing things and having blogs and having them out there, as if it is a fact or the truth. And a lot of the times we don't understand that we need academia. We need to have sources and facts, and we read things and we're like, yeah, that's true. I read the most bizarre article about the wounded healer. And this person, whom I don't remember the name, and is not an attack on them, it's my opinion. They speak about healers having to heal themselves before they go into healing others. and how this wounded healer archetype has been misused and misrepresented. And until there, I kind of agree with them. But then they go into this huge rant about you're supposed to heal completely before you start being a healer.
When is anyone completely healed?
I know the answer to this one. I'm raising my hand. Can you see it? Can I tell you?
I can.
I know the answer.
Yeah.
It's when you die. The minute that you kick the bucket, that's it. There's no more work to do.
Other
than that, and I was like, what? And I was like, I'm going to totally save this comment for Jules tonight, because I know you were going to be like, what? Because there are concepts, in my opinion, there are words and concepts and little things that we have learned here and there on the pagan, neo-pagan community and the earth-based religions. And one of those are these theories and phrases and words and concepts that are from psychology, particularly from Jungian psychology. There's a lot of that that intertwines with the pagan community. And then we have all these concepts of the inner child, the shadow work, the wounded healer. And I think that we have become very, very good at repeating and repeating and repeating these concepts. And sometimes I don't think we fully understand the concepts. And
yeah,
the more we, go ahead.
A lot of times we don't understand the concepts. We just parrot what we've heard or what we've read. And one that I work with is shadow work. That's a Jungian concept that he talked about. And that's how I do my healing. But you're never fully healed, because while you're healing, other things happen to you and you can never keep up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's things that you forget until something triggers you and you're like, oh yeah, now I remember that happened. And
mm-hmm.
you have to go through the process all over again to heal. So to me, a healer is someone who heals. They're walking their own path and they're going to have their own things to heal of themselves, but they help you figure out what your best way to heal is.
I'm going to...
Despite their own issues.
Exactly. Or maybe sometimes because of their own issues.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you don't learn by empathy, and if you don't learn by, I went through the exact same thing that you're going through, then how are you going to be able to help others? And honestly, I appreciate what this person is coming from with their article, but this is what I wrote. The problem with using concepts and words, not fully understanding the meaning of them. Yes, we use wonder healer, and now it's romanticized, bastardized, watered down, and misunderstood. The wounded healer knows the work, wounds and limitations, knows how to work with their own shadow and how to work through their healing in helping themselves and guide others to heal themselves. No one can heal you. You can heal you. A healer can help you, you know,
mm-hmm.
but the healer's
Very true.
Job is not to heal you. I mean, I love my therapist, but she's not going to heal me. I have to do the work,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think that putting that kind of pressure on a spiritual healer, may they be your minister or your priest or priestess or your tarot reader or your Reiki master, or, I mean, they're not there to heal you. So how do you marry the two concepts, Jules? How do you bring people to academia and still understanding the spiritual work that can happen?
A lot of the academia that I look at, oddly enough, comes from the psychology side of things. A lot more studies have been done on that and through sociology, the soft sciences, because we're looking at different religions and how people react and things like that. And those concepts apply to everyday life. And if you find a part of, say, psychology that you absolutely love, there's probably articles out there that relate to paganism with it and how it interacts with paganism, or how paganism is seen through the eyes of whatever your topic is, or if it can even help whatever the topic is. Like, for me, paganism is the best way for me to work through the trauma that I've had in my life, because I'm free to accept myself the way I am without any guilty structures behind it that, you know, I have to consider something bad or something good, you know, things like that. So there's parallels between academia work and what we do as pagans. Usually in academia, you don't get things like, this is how we should do ritual. It's more either, this is how we have found ritual to be through text, ancient texts in the past and archaeological digs, or on the psychological side, you know, if you do this type of ritual, these could be the outcomes mentally and spiritually. So everything overlaps. We're not just in, you know, in the Venn diagram of things, our bubbles are not separated. We are all one giant bubble within everything else.
Mm-hmm. What is your concept, or what is your idea of the Mediphian shadow work and also Marian shadow work with academic work?
I started doing shadow work because I was going to therapy and it was doing what it needed to do, but I needed to have some kind of something on my own that I could, some kind of structure or framework that I could use to do my work outside of the office. And I took a class called Creativity and Community, or no, I'm sorry, that's not the right class. It was Composing the Self at the university here at the master's level. And one of the things we had to do was create a blog. And in that blog, we could put whatever we wanted. Somebody did a blog about how they hated doing blogs. I did my blog on my shadow work. And in that, I brought in academic research that I found that applied, different things I was going through, how I resolved them. Some of that I found through academic texts, because I've studied a lot on the psychological side of things in school. So when I do my shadow work, I'm bringing in the psychology side of things and the academic papers that show, you know, if you process things this way, this can happen. If you process them another way, this can happen. You know, they're all out there to find if you have the resources to do so. And I mirrored them so that, or I merged them so that they worked for me. And I would encourage everybody to, you know, work within your own boundaries on that.
And how important will be for you, in your personal opinion, of course, that, for example, when somebody finds an article, there was a little bit of a controversy not too long ago about Hecate and how people supposedly worship Hecate back in the times of the Greeks, and somebody wrote an article like, this is how you should do it, and somebody else wrote an article debunking the first one and blah, blah, blah. Should we practice the way it's written on the ancient texts, or should we go with the flow, or should we listen to the person that says they know what they are doing?
It depends on what works for you. Sometimes the ancient texts don't work for you. Sometimes what you find within yourself works best. I find academia to be more beneficial at looking how things were done, not necessarily how we need to do them. So if I'm researching Pictish religions, because my family comes from Scotland, my father's side, I'm going to go to academia for that and not some book that I find on a shelf that has no sources in it that tells me that they did some research and didn't just, you know, pull it out of thin air.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Awesome. I want to invite you to go to a musical break and then come back with more, of course. And
absolutely.
We have we have Celia Farron and a group of friends of hers that she just collected all these lovely voices for the song called The Moon and Me. Me and the Moon Tonight. Me and the Moon Tonight. So we're going to go into a little break. We're going to listen to Celia Farron with Me and the Moon Tonight. And we're going to be back here with more on Lunatic Mondays with Juliana Russell, Jules, talking about Pagan Academic Circle. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Is it really gonna go like this? Is it really gonna be poor me with a stiff whiskey crutch? Oh. Is it really gonna end this way? I mean, I've left better deals for less than this much. I really love to come.
And we're back live here on Lunes Lunaticos, Lunatic Mondays, the very first bilingual show for Circle Sanctuary Network podcast. My name is Laura Gonzalez, and I want to share with you very quickly about upcoming shows for the month of December and January. And I know it sounds like, really, January is too early? Well, I am going to take a night off. You will have to forgive me, but I will take December 23rd off. So that is going to be an encore presentation of the show that we did for Lunatic Mondays last year, I think, about prosperity and abundance. It's a very, very good show, and it's a very good show to give you some perspective for the new year, the legal calendar new year coming up, 2020, and kind of like to get into the spirit of prosperity and abundance, good fortune, and all of that good stuff that we always need to be reminded. I will say the whole time, but sometimes during the beginning of the year, it's very good to kind of like start with that mentality of prosperity and leave behind the mentality of scarcity. So that's the show. I did that with Aaron Marsh a few years ago. I think it was 2 years ago. So that's going to be on December 23rd. And on January, we're going to have author Jamie Della. She wrote a book called The Book of Spells. Her name is Jamie Della. She's going to be with us on January 27th. On January 13th, we're going to have Wendy Rule live here on Lunatic Mondays because we love her, of course, but because Wendy Rule is coming to Chicago. She's going to be here in Chicago on February, I think it's the first weekend of February, February 7th, 8th, and 9th, I think. And so we are going to have Wendy Rule. We're going to be talking about her new album, Persephone, and her workshop and presentation and all that. So that's going to be awesome. And also in January, for those folks who speak Spanish, we're going to have Ness Bosch, Tally Inks, and Gabby Moonstruck talking about tattoos and skin art and the sacrality, the sacredness of your skin, your art, your body, and all that good stuff. But that doesn't end there. Circle Sanctuary Network podcast also has another number of podcasts. We have Selena Fox Anchor presentations with Nature Spirituality that happens on Sundays. That is Nature Mystic, I'm sorry. That happens on Sundays, every Sunday in the month of December. She will be talking about Yuletide traditions all the Sundays in December. And on Wednesdays, she's got Nature Spirituality, and that is a live show. And on the month of December as well, she will be talking about Yuletide celebrations and traditions. Now, two Tuesdays a month, we have Deborah Rose with Circle Talk with different interviews and guests. And on the 17th, she's going to have Yenya Beachy talking about her book, I guess. And we also have the show with David and Janet Ewen on Moon Magic, and they do moon rituals, either new moon or full moon rituals, and they talk about the traditions or the moon of the month and how to celebrate and the rituals with that. So we have a whole lot of shows, and not only the shows that are upcoming, but we have a huge archive. At this moment, we have probably over 100 shows archived just from the first year of Circle Sanctuary Network podcast. So you can go to circlesanctuary.org and click on our work and look for the window that says CSM Podcast Archive. And there's a whole lot of shows that are being archived there for you. You can listen to them anytime. You can download them. You can share. And also you can share and listen to us from various podcast providers like Stitcher, Spotify, iBox, and TuneIn, and iTunes. So we're everywhere. We're everywhere. We're very happy to do this work for you and to bring you interviews and the work of other pagans, not only people from Circle Sanctuary, but pagans from the whole world. And of course, in this occasion tonight, I have my very, very good friend and amazing academic superstar, Juliana Russell. She's here back with us. Hi, Jules.
Hi.
How are ya? Did you like the song?
I love the song. I have not heard that song before, so I wrote it down on my little pad here, and I'm going to be looking for that song.
Yeah, that's from her latest album, I think. I can't remember the name of the album, but it's the latest album from Celia Farran, and we have very good songs from that album. If I find it, I will let you know, but I think it's, yeah, I'm not going to lie. I can't remember the name of the album. But anyway, thank you for being here, Jules, and for talking to us about academia. And I'm really interested on shadow work, and I really want to ask you how. One time I heard this phrase. Somebody say shadow work was not only therapy. And I don't know if I agree or disagree. So why don't you help us dispel that phrase, and what exactly is shadow work for, so we're not repeating like parrots, you know?
Right. Well, I think shadow work is different for every person. For me, it's looking back at all the things that I've been hurt over, whether it's trauma or bad feelings over a situation that happened. Maybe I didn't act the way I should, or someone else didn't act the way they should, and I'm still holding on to that anger or grief or, just trauma. For me, it's going through and looking at how I reacted, how the other people reacted, and a lot of times it was when I was a kid, so it's looking at it from now going, okay, was it supposed to happen that way? Were the people in the scene acting against me on purpose? Was it just misunderstandings? And it's just going through things kind of step by step. At least that's how I do it. Everybody does shadow work differently. Some people journal. I did a blog for a while for that class that I was talking about earlier. I've had people just want to talk things out, and I'm more than willing to sit and listen without, you know, offering any solutions, because there's no solution that can come from outside of you. This is all work that you need to do on the inside to heal yourself. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I love what you said about just listening, because we're so accustomed to listen, and then we want to solve the problem, or we want to help the person solve the problem, or then we ask them, what can I do for you, or what should I do for you? And they're like, if I knew, I won't be doing it. You know, I think
exactly.
It's a very good practice to just offer to sit and listen. And that is something else that came up not too long ago with one of my students talking about unsolicited spiritual advice, and how a lot of people who are on the pagan community, whether you're a healer or not, whether you're a witch for hire or not, like me, or a professional healer, unsolicited healing psychic advice. That's a thing.
It is a thing.
Yeah. It is a thing. What's your opinion on that?
I don't like anything unsolicited, whether it's, you know, pictures in my inbox or advice that I don't really want. You know, if I want advice, I'm going to ask for it. If I want, you know, hey, show me a picture of your dog, I'm going to ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I try not to do anything unsolicited. Even if someone says, you know, hey, I have this injury, I'm really hurting, you know, I'll ask before I send Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
I'll ask before I do anything. You know, would you like me to, you know, put out energy for you? Would you like this or that? But if not, that's okay. You can say no.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'd rather ask and be told no than be someone that does it when it's not wanted.
Mm-hmm. And I totally agree with that. And we have this amazing friend, our common friend that hurt themselves. not my story to tell, so I'm omitting names. And when I reach out to them, I'm like, can I send you healing? Is that okay? Because, you know, I also have a little bit of a, it's not necessarily that it's a bad thing, but I don't appreciate when people just say, sending Reiki, like, no, thank you. I'll ask you if I need it, you know. I mean, I love it that people are so willing to share the love, but yeah, there are rules, and the rules are there for a reason. And speaking of
my Reiki
rules,
master, go ahead.
No, finish your
my Reiki thing. Master. Okay, when I was being trained, my Reiki master was very adamant about you do nothing until you ask. You don't send energy. You don't put your hands over someone. You don't work Reiki with them. Nothing until you have explicit consent.
Mm-hmm.
And I follow that rule to the T.
Yep. Same here. And then when it comes down to Reiki, by the way, some Reiki practitioners touch and some don't.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a toucher or are you not a toucher?
It depends. If I know the person, I'll ask. If it's someone I'm not familiar with, I'll go, you know, a couple inches above them.
Yeah. Hovering works as touching.
Yeah. You know, if we were up at Circle and you were like, hey, I need some Reiki, I'd be like, hey, can I put my hand on your shoulder? I'd ask first because, again, explicit consent before you do any of it.
Mm-hmm.
But
absolutely.
Yeah, I totally ask.
Right? Yeah. I was like with a client, you know, like, you like being touched? Yeah, okay. And then every time I was like, I'm going to touch your shoulders and I'm going to touch your chest and I'm going to touch your stomach. And, you know, because there has to be that kind of disclosure and consent and stuff like that. Speaking of disclosure and asking for help, how can one ask for help? And I know this sounds probably very silly, but because I know you have the page on Facebook, right? And I went and I asked, like, somebody has anything on feminist spirituality. And I don't know. I haven't even checked if anybody sent me anything, but could it be as easy as that? Or is there a process, or how do you do it?
It can be as easy as that. Just put it out on Pagan Academic Circle and someone will pick it up and take a look at it and see if we can find something. You can go to your local university library. They have librarians there that are more than happy to assist you. You typically do not have to be a student to do that. I know my university, you go in, you ask for a login to the computers. They give you that login and you can go and search anything that they have on file. We do a lot through online content. So if, like, for years, for feminist spirituality, I saw that this morning and I've been working all day, so I haven't had time to look, but I'll go out to our resources that I have through my university library and I will find articles for you. And then I'll post them in a link or a new message, because Facebook really does not like you to put files in the comments. But I can send files to people. Other people on the page will also look up research for you. But I would highly suggest checking out your local university. Sometimes your local public library has access to journals and things like that. Sometimes you can find them online through Google Scholar. Sometimes you can see them on Google Scholar, but you can't get to the full article. If you have the name and the information about who wrote it and, you know, what journal it was in, what volume and things like that, you can go to your local library and they can find that for you. So there's all kinds of ways to find research. Yeah.
And for those folks like me who learn better from hearing than from reading, is there such a thing as an audio archive of research that you know of?
Not that I know of. I know my university just got a hold of a video library. I don't know if anything in that has paganism in it, but I know we have a lot of historical type things in there. I need to check with our librarians on that. I'll get back to you on that, because that's intriguing me now that you've asked.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wonder how many other folks are out there that, A, you know, to begin with, and that's why I wanted to do this show with you, because we hear the word academia and we're like, we go in panic, right? So now you have eased us into, like, there's no need to panic. This is just about researching and kind of like finding good sources and trusted sources, and it has been a fact check and reviewed. So that is fantastic. But then
Absolutely.
What about, like, but I mean, I can read. I can read. Thank you, God and Goddess. I can read. I used, like to use it jokingly, say, I don't know how to read, because I really have a really hard time reading. I mean, reading a book takes me months. And I'm not kidding here. I've been reading a book since, like, April, and I'm a chapter away from finishing. But it's really hard for me to read. But if I put a podcast or a video and I just hear the master or the teacher talking, it transfers into my brain and it never leaves, you know. But I cannot learn from reading. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering if there was such a resource out there for folks, you know.
Yeah, I'll have to check in on that. And when I go in tomorrow, I'll ask the librarians if there's any resources like that, because that is interesting. I learn better if I hear things. It takes me quite a while to read things too, because, I mean, frankly, I'm, as a master's student, all I do is read research. I mean, that's how we learn in our program, is read research. And by the time I get done reading for classes, I don't want to read for myself, even if it's something I'm really interested in. So if I could find audio video articles or podcasts that are factual, that would be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to check on that with our librarian tomorrow, our religious librarian.
That is awesome. Thank you so much for doing that. Before we go, because, you know, time flies when you're having fun, and it's already 7:55, believe it or not. So we have 5 minutes left. Yes. Were you aware of the time?
I was not, because I've been paying attention to you and not the clock.
And it's exactly, we're 5 minutes from finishing. But before we go anywhere, I really want to pick your brain about Three Rivers Pagan and mm-hmm. the Pagan community in Fort Wayne, and how's it all going over there? How did your group start it? Kind of like give us a 411 for those who don't know.
Sure. So Three Rivers Pagans was started in 2011. We, a couple people went out to Paganicon in Minneapolis and came home and looked around and went, we have no community like they have. We have no classes. We have nothing. So we started out just, you know, four people sitting in a coffee shop, and it was supposed to be, we meet once a month on a Tuesday, and the next Tuesday rolled around and we were like, hey, do you want to meet up for coffee? And it just snowballed into an every week type meeting. Now we do coffees every other week, and on the weeks that we don't do coffee, we either do a night out at a restaurant that's a local restaurant, or we do a class in-house. We've got almost 400 members now, and we grow by leaps and bounds. Usually right after Pagan Pride Day is a good time when we get a lot of new members. But we get people from, you know, all walks of life that just want to have a safe space to talk about their spirituality. And even if they don't come to meetings, like, a big meeting is about 30 people. A lot of times it's just, you know, 10 or 12 people sitting around my kitchen table talking about, you know, whatever is going on in their life. But, you know, we do have a lot of people that reach out online because the time doesn't work for them or the day doesn't work for them. You know, something's off with how we do things and their schedule type things. But we started out as just a couple of people meeting up for coffee, and we've grown into this very large regional group that does, we do our own little festival in the spring called Weekend in the Woods, where we go to a state park and take over their group camp. Take over, we do rent it. We don't just like park there and be like, hey, we're taking over. Give us the keys. Right? That would be nice.
Yeah.
We work on Pagan Pride as a group. We go to festivals like Pagan Spirit Gathering. We have a camp at Pagan Spirit Gathering. It's getting renamed to what are we renaming it to? Something about ducks, because ducks in my house, just ducks everywhere.
but we've become this group of people that, you know, when somebody needs a hand, they're there for us, and it's a good tribe.
That sounds like an amazing group, and I was going to ask you, how do you fit 400 people at a restaurant, but I guess it's not all 400 at once.
No, a lot of times it's, you know, 20 or 30 people, and we call ahead, obviously make reservations and be like, hey, we're going to fill your restaurant. Can you have space for us? And we're very respectful about it. You know, if they don't have space, we don't go there, obviously, but usually they like to see us come in. We had a coffee shop that in town that was the only coffee shop that was open late, and it was in a house, and it was awesome. And they ended up having to close because business wasn't great except on Tuesday nights when we were in. So they were going to close on a Sunday, and they were like, we're going to wait until Tuesday because we want to say goodbye to you guys. We don't want to just close up and you guys not know what happened. So we got in there, and they were giving us mugs to take home and T-shirts and leftover, you know, coffee beans and stuff like that. We really like to go in on community projects in the community, you know, community restaurants, things like that. So we're supporting local.
Mm-hmm. And I had the opportunity to firsthand experience on one of those little outings. And let me tell you, this is a tight-knit community group and something to look forward to when I go to Indiana. When you have invited
Absolutely.
Me, thank you for inviting me. And looking forward to see you again, my dear friend and my MIT Minister and Training Program Fellow. And thank you so much for being here tonight, for dispelling all these myths and clearing all the smoke around what is Pagan Academic Circle. Where can people find you? Can you please leave information where they can reach out to you?
Oh, absolutely. You can find us on Facebook at Pagan Academic Circle. It's a private group. You have to request membership, but I'm usually trying to be on top of that and letting people in as soon as they apply. Apply. You click you want to be in the group. That's applying. You can reach out to me on Facebook under Juliana Russell, and I'll get back to you as quickly as I can, with my schedule right now being the end of the semester and wrapping up my first semester in the comm lab. I'm busier than snot right now, but we will get to you as quickly as we can.
Yeah, because for those who don't know, on top of everything, she's a mom of two teenagers.
Two wonderful hockey players.
two wonderful children, that's for sure. But
Absolutely.
Anyway, my dear Jules, I love you with all my heart. I thank you so much for being my guest on this very cold, very windy December night here in Chicago. As cold as it is in here, I can only imagine how cold it is over there in Fort Wayne. But thanks to the magic of the
really
internet.
Warm here.
What? Here
it's
is
like 45
windy.
Degrees here.
Well, here is 48, allegedly 48. But the wind has been knocking people out of their shoes, and it feels like it's minus 100. I don't know. It's just cold for me. And again, you know, this is my 21st winter in Chicago, and I still can get used to it. It's too
Bundle
cold.
Up.
I have. I look like, you know, you can see the eyes and then this, like, little penguin image moving towards you, like coats and coats and coats, and there comes Laura, you know.
I remember that from Samhain, honey.
Yeah. You know what it looks like. Yes, I remember.
Yeah.
And now with my little doggy companion with his little sweater as well, you know, but it's just too cold. Anyway, my dear Juliana Russell, my dear Jules, my dear friend, I love you so much. Thank you for being on the show. Thank you to everyone who listened to the show, whether you listen live or you listen to the recording. And as I was saying earlier, I'm going to take a weekend off. So I'm not going to see you live until January. So this is a time for me to tell my audience, thank you so much for following with us, for sticking with us as we move from our prior home to Circle Center Enabled Podcast. this will be our first winter. This will be the first time we go into a new year. And we're very thankful and grateful for all of you. And of course, I wish you all on the Northern Hemisphere a very, very good Yule, very good winter solstice, winter holidays. And for those who might listen elsewhere in the world and might be celebrating the opposite solstice, to have a wonderful summer solstice and enjoy and go to the beach and be happy and celebrate. But for everyone, thank you so much for being here. Thank you, Jules, for being here tonight. And everybody have a wonderful holiday. And Jules, finally, I leave you the microphone to say goodnight to your audience tonight.
Hey, everybody. Good night. Come find me on Pagan Academic Circle on Facebook, and we can chat about academics to your heart's content. Have a good one.
Thank you, everyone. Never forget that you are loved. Bye-bye.
And thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.